This is In My Opinion with your host, Ray Dosky.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to National Sports Radio. I'm your host, Ray Dosky, here at National Sports Radio, WNSR. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today, I'll be talking about Week 5. We're going to recap the games this past weekend, talk about John Gruden, no longer the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Also, I'll be recapping the Ravens versus the Colts game last night. What a great game on Lamar Jackson. We can talk some NBA as well, Kyrie and his situation with the Nets, and where do they go from here. Ben Simmons possibly trying to, I guess, reconcile with the 76ers and possibly play for them this year and see where they're going to go there. At the end of the show, I'll probably talk a bit more or less about fantasy football, waiver wire 6 pickups for players that you should target this week as we start to get to the heart of your fantasy season. Now you're starting to separate yourselves in terms of where you're going to position yourselves in terms of the playoffs. So without further ado, let's get right into it. I'm going to go ahead and play a bit. John Gruden addressed the racial allegations in his press conference against the Bears after the Bears-Raiders game yesterday.
All I can say is I'm not a racist. I can't tell you how sick I am. I apologize again to D. Smith, but I feel good about who I am and what I've done my entire life. And I apologize for the insensitive remarks. I had no racial intentions with those remarks at all. But yes, they can. I'm not like that at all. But I apologize. I don't want to keep addressing it.
Now, as I was listening to this press conference, and this is a day before where all the information came out, which was yesterday, about what was said in those emails. And it's really crushing, especially for Raider fans who had this season where they felt like this was going to be the year they're going to be able to turn the corner. They came out the gate, started undefeated the first couple games, looked like they were about to challenge for a postseason berth after, 14 seasons? Just 11 days ago. What? And now look where they are. Just everything just snowballed. Just the last week, John Gruden was not considered a racist or what have you. And I know you guys have listened out in those media markets from ESPN, the NFL, whatever. Everyone's giving their 2 cents about stuff, whatever. And I know that I'm in the media as well. But I'm not going to spin this off like he's a racist or not. If he's racist and he ends it, whatever, fine. Said what he had to say. I'm also going to play. I want to talk about what the players said yesterday about when he went and addressed the team yesterday after or during the game before where he said he was not racist after the Raiders lost yesterday.
Was very honest and upright with us before. You're going to have to help me on the day, but before that article came out, the morning before that article, we didn't even know about the article. He just told us exactly what he said in that email. When we left that meeting, it was like, dang, that sucks, man. He probably regrets it. You know, he does. He wish. You know, he taught us. He told us, like, men learn from my mistake. You know.
You know what? It's probably true. He probably does regret it. Yes, the emails were 11 years ago. People were talking about it. I've talked to fans. I've talked to other people that are in the media. And they're like, yeah, it was 11 years ago. Yeah, guess what? Why are we talking about something 11 years ago? Because that's where we are today. His last email he sent was to 2018. Okay? There was reports on there. And it was going to be nearly impossible for John Gruden to explain this the whole way. He can spin this off as many explanations as he wants. Harmless jokes between, inside jokes between friends, what have you. And one of them being Bruce Allen. Now, I'm from the Washington area. I grew up a Washington football fan myself for many, many years. Unfortunately, for the time that Bruce Allen was the team president of that Washington football team, known as the Washington, aka the Washington Redskins, his winning record was horrible. And I remember fans and media outlets were like calling for his head, that he should be let go, he should be fired. Why is he still with the team? Why is he getting re-signed when he's not shown anything in terms of success of this team moving towards an ascending type situation where they're starting to show improvement, what have you? It's just they just kept getting worse and worse as each year. In the back of my mind, I kept telling myself, Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen, there's something going on there. There's some dirt. There's some reason why he's not letting go. Just a few years ago, Washington Post released out information about how Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen and that leadership brass was taking pictures or having some just some really bad stuff with like the cheerleaders and stuff like that, which is a really bad working environment. Where several cheerleaders, ex-Washington football cheerleaders, came out and they spoke vocally against what was their experience when they worked under with the Washington football team. A year later, Bruce Allen was let go because Daniel Snyder knew that because of the image that was about to hit him was not an easy recoverable one, that someone had to take the hit. Well, it was Bruce Allen. And guess what? It was Bruce Allen. And there was rumors that Bruce Allen might even end up with John Gruden out with Los Angeles. Now, we all know that, with the Raiders. Now, we all know that Gruden and Bruce Allen have had history, especially their days when they were in Tampa Bay. And it took forever for us to find out exactly what was that information that was being withheld. What was the reason why Snyder was holding on to Bruce Allen? Well, here we are. The information's out and about. And it's sad because the thing is, I don't want to call him a racist or not a racist. If he's upset by it, if he's going to get better from this, that's on John Gruden. But what sucks is that, I hate to say it, but John Gruden basically checked all the boxes. You insulted the president of the NFL. You have a player who just came out gay on your team. You decided to talk about that when you try to, convince or the NFL should try to do something with Jeff Fisher when at the time was trying to draft Michael Sam during his time with the Rams. Here you are. You actually have a player on your team that's actually come out gay and actually is a very good player. He was a really great player on your team. Very impact player on that defensive side. And we all talk about the women officiating and stuff like that. We just not too long ago, a year ago, had her all women officiating for a game last year, which was great. So no matter how Gruden spun it, there was no way for him to kind of like go the whole way and to get himself out of it. So the next result was for Mark Davis to have a conversation with him yesterday, which he did, because the NFL basically put it back on the Raiders, said, what are you guys going to do from here? We're going to sit back, stand on the sidelines. What action are you going to take? And yesterday afternoon, they had a discussion. And then soon after, there was news reports before the Baltimore game last night versus the Colts that John Gruden was going to resign. Resign, fire, whatever you want to call it, fine. I don't care. But it had to be done. It sucks. It is what it is. The fight for racism or against racism is not over. We're far from it. And the thing is that there was no other possible outcome but Gruden leaving. As a player in that team, as a player on that team, whether you be African-American or you're gay or what have you, how are you able to go and play for a coach after seeing this, these leaked emails? It was a lose-lose. We're not surprised that this happened. We're not surprised at all that it happened. It was going to happen. It was only a matter of days that it was going to happen. Because as a player, I'm pretty sure it's kind of hard to go in and try. Like, if you work for a company and your leadership masses, whatever, that, oh, well, they feel a certain way and emails get leaked out, what have you. As an employee, how would you feel about that? Whether it be a female president in a leadership role, or if you're an African-American or Asian or Middle Eastern, what have you, or if you're, gay or lesbian, what have you, it would be very tough. There's no... That NFL culture that you're trying to clean up, Gruden decided to say, you know what? I'm going to take it. They took a hit yesterday with what happened with John Gruden yesterday. Does the NFL recover from this? Sure. They'll take time. Will the Raiders recover? I feel bad for the Raider fans because they had a lot of hope this year, especially coming out the gate looking fantastic, looking strong, cars putting up beautiful numbers up, defense is playing well. They felt like they were in a position where they can possibly challenge for a postseason entry, as the Chiefs have taken a step back and keeping up with the Chargers and what have you. They had an opportunity. And now, just for all this to happen within 11 days, it seems like their season is really, really misty right now. We don't know where it's going to go. So I'm glad that the players heard what they needed to hear from John Gruden. John Gruden, whatever it may be, it's done. It's over. John Gruden is no longer the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. That saga's ending. All we can do from now on, as in the NFL eyes, as for teams, what have you, is to get better, right? That's to get better. Eat not by each week, each year, just day by day. Take a day at a time. So I've seen it doing with Washington. Washington's done some time, you know, they've done some work in terms of trying to rebrand or recreate their image, trying to be, you know, more diverse and, you know, trying to be more open with their fans. They're trying to make right of what was so wrong for 10 years with them. Expect the Raiders to do the same thing. The only problem is that we don't know who was involved. We know some of the players that were involved, like a Bruce Allen. There was the CEO of Hooters, and there was just a small group of mass people involved. But my frustration is like when I hear fans are talking about like, oh yeah, well, what about the players? So we're gonna fire this coach, but yeah, what about a player that has committed 20 sex offenders over his time or career? But we're gonna just overlook him or overlook that? No. We're not going to overlook that because they should be punished as well. I agree with that 100%. Everyone should be punished accordingly. The only problem is that when you look at a NFL coach, owner, president, what have you, they're more of an influential person in that NFL space than a player himself. An NFL player is more influential to a fan as opposed to where the NFL, like coach, whatever, is more influential to the whole body of the NFL. Because these are the leaders. These are the guys that have come in, especially these young kids who come out of college that come from these programs. Like you come from a Nick Saban, whatever, where, you know, he prides on building, you know, a player and, you know, being able to build skills outside of the football field for them to be able to survive and so forth. Then you come into an environment like this. Well, that's very damaging. You're expected as an NFL owner to be able to continue whatever they learned in college to carry over into the NFL. Because most college coaches are solid coaches. Not all, but some. Some have the right way of going about things, doing about their business, what have you, like a Nick Saban. And there's some that are not. So they need to continue that as they go into the NFL. And when they get exposed to something like this, I mean, whether it be a John Gruden or it could be a Bill Belichick or it could be whoever. We don't know who's who what anymore. We're trying to build these players up as they get these 20, 21-year-old kids coming into the NFL to build from that. So, Raiders, I think you made the right decision because there was no other way to go about this. I mean, it was either that or continue to deal with the questions, the bad PR, the image daggers, like it was going to continue on. So it was not going to stop. So John Gruden, no longer the coach of the NFL of the Las Vegas Raiders. And now they have to go and find another coach and, you know, see where they go from here. But you have the pieces to build from that. Who knows? Even Mike Mayock, who don't know if he's safe there as well as the GM. So we'll see what happens. So, but that's my two cents about this whole John Gruden thing. I'm not going to speak about it no more because what's done is done. There's nothing you can talk about it now. You know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over John Gruden and where he stands or if he's a racist or not, whatever. It really doesn't impact me whatsoever. So, yeah, it is what it is. And hopefully the NFL and the rest of the teams can take note of what happened and get better from it. So, but let's change gear. Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about the Ravens versus Colts game. Whoa, Carson Wentz. Wow, he looked fantastic last night. The Colts literally moved at will against this Ravens team last night. And I was impressed. Unfortunately, they lost in overtime. And I came to myself thinking, like, where would the Baltimore Ravens be without Lamar Jackson? I've been saying this all season. He's a QB1, RB1, RB2. The defenses look suspect. If they did not have Lamar Jackson, there's no way they're 4-1. They're probably like a 1-4, 0-5 team, honest to God. But Lamar Jackson balled out yesterday. How to keep pace because his defense wasn't doing much, wasn't able to stop that Colts offense. I mean, the Colts offense looked like they were just clicking. They were clicking on cylinders. And I kept to myself like, wow, if they win this game, next week they'll probably be tied with the Tennessee Titans for the divisional lead in the AFC South because they get the Houston Texans next week as opposed to the Titans who get Buffalo on Monday night. And it's really a two-team grab right now. It's between the Titans versus the Colts. And I honestly believe on paper, the Colts look like a better team. They look like a better team than the Titans. The Titans are dealing with some injuries right now. And it kind of sucks, but it is what it is. The Colts looked like that Wentz looked healthier. It looked like his little ankles were not really as swollen. Like, he was able to move around the pocket a little bit. He was making some beautiful, beautiful passes. He made some great throws yesterday. Michael Pittman stepped up yesterday. That running back that was with Jonathan Taylor looked fantastic. The guy was just everywhere. He was the do-it-all back, which is fantastic. I was really impressed. I was really impressed with the way the Colts play. They really started to show, like, they were really starting to get, you know, they're starting to get into the sink a little bit about how this offense, because they've dealt with so much stuff during the offseason. You know, Wentz had COVID. Then he had some injuries. He had the foot injury, and we don't know if he was going to be able to play week one. Then he came back. Then he had some swollen ankles, and it looked like they were just trying to figure things out the first couple weeks, and it looks like they have. And now they're putting themselves in a position where they can really challenge for the AFC South against the Tennessee Titans, who've looked like last lackluster. I know they just beat the Jaguars, but it's the Jaguars. Come on, real. The Jaguars were dealing with their own mess with their head coach, Urban Meyer. Where, I don't know if you guys saw, but Urban Meyer came out after his postgame yesterday, after James Robinson was blowing up the game. The first half, he had over 100 yards, he was doing all this stuff, whatever. And he had no idea that they decided to cut back his carries in the second half. Really, dude? You're the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. How do you not know what the game script is? How do you know what they're not doing? Are you not watching the same game that us fans and the other players are watching? What are you doing? Are you just like ho-humming? What are you doing? It was evident that you guys walked away from you went away from James Robinson, who's a really great back. A great back. And decided not to play the game that was keeping you in the game the first half. So I don't know what Urban Meyer just looks so lost. He looks like he's so done in the NFL. I don't know how long he's going to last. Like, he just seems like it just really overwhelms him. It really does overwhelms him. Like, he's just kind of, he looks tired. And he needs to take his job a lot more serious than he has been the last couple of weeks, because the NFL is not like college. And Urban Meyer needs to realize that quick. Will they go 0-17? Maybe. And I feel bad for Trevor Lawrence. He's a good quarterback. And I've been telling you since on my other podcast that Urban Meyer is not a quarterback developer. He's not going to make Trevor Lawrence better. I don't think he's the coach to do that. There's another coach that's going to be out there that's in the waiting that's going to probably be able to develop him faster than what Urban Meyer is doing. Yes, Trevor Lawrence has shown flashes. But you can just see that this team has a lot of doubt. They don't have much direction from their coaching staff, especially from the head coach, in terms of what type of identity this team wants to be. Until Urban Meyer steps up and starts putting more work in and being able to, I'm not there every day. I'm telling you right now, I'm not there every day. I don't know what he's doing in Jacksonville. I don't know how much hours he's spending or whatever, but it's not showing like he's doing much, because they look unprepared when they come to these games. The only game they looked half-ass prepared was against the Bengals just 2 weeks ago. But since then, like we've seen, how quickly that fell. Saw what happened. He was in the news. We all know about that. I'm not going to rehash that. And since then, it's just like he just feels like he's done. Who's going to take him as a head coach? Let's say he wants to leave as a head coach. Maybe he gets fired, what have you. Maybe he doesn't end up finishing the season. He goes to the college rankings. Do you think a college team might take him? Do you think a college program would hire Urban Meyer? Some might, like a USC, what have you. We don't know. But do you think they're going to have doubt in their mind because of basically his paper trail of stuff that's happened to him during his days at Florida and Ohio State? Yeah, I don't know. It's just hard. I think Urban Meyer just needs to figure it out. You need to start stepping up and really start becoming a head coach of this team, because you're in the NFL. We all know the not for long thing, whatever. That even goes for head coaches. It doesn't only apply for players. It also applies for coaches as well. So we don't want you to be that guy if you finish out the season that we see you on Black Monday and you're let go. Well, if we do, many of us probably won't be surprised. So Urban Meyer really needs to step up. I don't know if you guys saw this, you know, the Chargers-Browns game. And boy, talk about a tale of two halves between quarterbacks, between Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, I've been waiting for weeks, almost like since the end of last year, for him to just fall apart. Because we even spoke about it here on the afternoon stretch with Zach and Bruno, that we thought maybe there's going to be some regression going into his second year. No. Not only did he not have experienced any regression, the guy's even better than he was last year. The guy's still balling. This team is far better than it was last year. He's still putting up 300 yards. Mike Williams is a wide receiver one. He's not even a wide receiver two. He's playing out of his mind, which is what was important for this Chargers team, to have that solid second wide receiver option behind Keenan Allen. It seems like Michael Williams has eclipsed Keenan Allen as that wide receiver one role because he's been having great. And don't get me wrong, Keenan Allen's going to have his moments. He's going to come back. I'm not worried about him. But it's the Mike Williams show right now, and it's been fantastic. Austin Eckler, he rushed for 2 touchdowns, had a solid game. But this game, this team is phenomenal. And I asked myself, and I want you guys want to check me out. You can check me out on social media, NFL.junkie, J-U-N-K-I-E, where I'm going to pose this question. Do you believe the Chargers are a top 5 team in the NFL right now? And I want you to think about that because there's a lot of other teams that are great in that bucket of 5. You got Buffalo, you got Tampa Bay, you even got Dallas, you got Arizona who's still undefeated. I mean, there's a couple other teams that are out there, maybe the Rams. Like, would you consider them a top 5 team in the NFL right now? I would. I have them above the Rams. They're 5 for me. I think they've been phenomenal. I think that Derwin James coming back looking healthy has really solidified that the backfield of the Chargers team. Joey Bosa playing phenomenal. I mean, I know that he was going against a backup of a tackle on the Browns team, but who cares? They did what they needed to do. They won the game. It was a shootout. I mean, I think the over-under was like 52 or 54 points, and they scored a total of, 89 points? 47-42. Great back-and-forth game. And what did the Browns do? On the other side, we talk about the Browns. Kareem Hunt, Chubb, great games. Baker Mayfield did what he could, but that team was kept in there, predicated based off the run game. And I know Baker is I don't know him personally. I know he's a solid dude, whatever, but like I said before, this guy's not going to be the guy who's going to throw for 500 yards, 4 touchdowns, or 350 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's not that type of quarterback. He's a Kirk Cousins 2.0. He needs a running game just like Kirk Cousins does in Minnesota. He needs to rely on that, have those special pieces outside at those key positions, at wide receiver and tight end, to be effective. And that's pretty much for every quarterback, but you know, there's some quarterbacks who don't need all that or are just special, right? They're just special. Lamar Jackson doesn't have great players on his positions. I mean, he doesn't run a game. And, you know, he's got Hollywood Brown, who's a solid player. Mark Andrews, you know, he's a good player as well. But they're not special. Lamar Jackson's special. Josh Allen has a good running game. Has Stephon Diggs, who's really regressed this year. He was balling last year. In terms of even fantasy, he was balling last year. But this year, he's kind of taking a back seat. You've seen Beasley step up. You've seen Emmanuel Sanders. He was a free agent addition. He stepped up a little bit. Knox, who's now starting to show he's coming of late. Like, he's really starting to be a valuable asset to that offense. But Josh Allen's just special. Josh Allen's just killing it. Justin Herbert, same thing. He's just killing it. They're just special players. Baker Mayfield, good quarterback. He's not special. I'm sorry to say it. He's not special. He's not. And unfortunately, Baker, he's going to probably get I don't know. They're not going to sign him for like a 50, 60 million guaranteed contract or even 40 million. He'd probably get like maybe a 2-3 year contract. Probably be right below the other top echelons because you're not like the top echelons. And it sucks for Baker because let's be real here. You're basically compared to the other players in that pool, like the Josh Allen, Lamar Jacksons, even Kyler Murray, you know, Justin Herbert, even though he came several years after. But these are the guys that you compare yourselves around that, you know, they're going to probably make more money because they're just special players. You're not. You're a good quarterback. I'm not saying you're not. You're a good quarterback. I'm saying you're not special. So I really was infatuated by the way the Chargers are playing. I think they're a top 5 team. I think they've got the road to them because, look, the Chiefs, I don't know what's going on with them. Their defense has not looked defensively impressive since the season started. They've given up over 20-plus points a game. It's hard to see where they're going to go from here. They're last place in the AFC South, in the AFC West. And there just feels like there's things they need to figure out. Maybe they figure out how to cover Tyreek Hill. Maybe they've decided how they're going to defend with Patrick Mahomes. Well, very true. Well, we all know that Patrick Mahomes needs to stop doing those little side no-look passes. Just keep playing ball. So, Chargers, it's your division to win. You've already beat the Chiefs once. It's all uphill from here, buddy, because you guys are really clicking offensively and defensively. So, you've got all the momentum. Keep riding it. I'm a Chargers fan. I'm a Chargers believer. Then As I was watching that, I also sneak peeking, of course, towards the Cardinals versus the 49ers. And Trey Lance had his debut this week as his first quarterback start in the pros. And I was trying to, I was not looking at the game as a fan. I was kind of seeing how Trey Lance, how he's basically adapting to the NFL speed and play. And one thing I noticed, if you looked at the offenses that the 49ers played when they had Jimmy G compared to Trey Lance, different stories. With Jimmy G, it was more or less like they'll short the passes, you know, and then we're going to just run the ball. With Trey Lance, it just seems like the coaching staff does not trust him whatsoever in terms of his decision making. Like, he still hasn't, like, really seen what's going on. So you could see that, and he had two long runs, but it was on third down and long, so it was not called, like, quarterback run plays. It was just like, you know, it was third and long, so he had to, you know, run. And it made me believe Trey Lance is a star. I mean, but he overthrew so many players. I mean, he's got an arm. He's got a cannon of an arm. It's just his accuracy is just not there. And it just seems like whatever plan the 49ers had in terms of trying to do the split between Jimmy G and Trey Lance, it backfired. And now Trey Lance is dealing with an injury. He might miss some time. And they're about to go into their bye week. They can't wait for Jimmy G to come back. They can't wait for Jimmy G to come back. Because it's evident that Trey Lance is not ready yet. He still needs some time on the sidelines, kind of really get more study in that study room, being able to, you know, understand how the game flow is, be that clipboard holder, kind of, you know, see the game from a sideline view as opposed to being in game action. As opposed to Justin Fields over in Chicago, you just needed to play Trey Lance. I mean, you need to play Justin Fields. Jimmy G is better than Aaron Donald. Justin Fields is better than Andy Dalton. So, you can't compare the two whatsoever. So Justin Fields, what did he do? Won his second game against a Raiders team. Probably caught him at the right time. They had too many distractions going on into that weekend with the whole John Gruden fiasco with the emails and stuff like that. So they maybe caught him at the right time. Maybe the Raiders didn't feel like playing. They just were like, you know what, I'm not going to play for a coach like this, like I spoke earlier in the podcast. So chances are they probably caught him at the right time, and Justin Fields made plays. Was able to run a game. I mean, he was solid, but he's starting to get better. And this is what Matt Nagy needed to do. Let him have more game action. Give him more game life experience. He's going to be your quarterback of the future. Devise some play, make plays that work to his skills. Not to his weaknesses, but to his skills. And I think they're starting to do that. They're starting to find out exactly what they could do there. So I was excited that Chicago was able to let Justin Fields play and give him another start, make him a starter for however long they need to make him for the entire season. So be it. The kid's going to learn. He will have his four interception seasons. Woo, sneezing. Wow. What crazy. And then talking about another NFC North team, I feel so bad for Detroit Lions fans. I have a lot of friends who are Lions fans or from the Detroit area. And I'm like, if there wasn't any bad luck, you wouldn't have any luck at all, Detroit fans and team. I just feel bad. You guys, the only team, and I don't mean to laugh, but it sucks. The only team to have lost a game towards the end of regulation on 50-plus yard field goals. And I saw Dan Campbell. He was laughing. He was crying, whatever. I'm like, Dan Campbell, you shouldn't be crying, dude. Don't be crying for Detroit. I know you're an alpha male and all that stuff, but this is the National Football League. Don't cry. What are you crying for? You're in a city that just went bankrupt, and you're over here crying? Nah, you got to learn how Detroit works, homie. I'm sorry, Dan Campbell. Detroit's a lot harder. The fans, that city, they're tough. Detroit people, Detroit tough. You'll bounce back, but you shouldn't be crying. That's just a bad look for you as a head coach. You know, be pissed. Yell. Be frustrated. Don't cry, dude. Just not a good look. As a head coach, you don't want to cry. All right? Okay, I'm just telling you that now. Then let's talk about some Tennessee Titans here. Oh, man. I'm so worried about the Tennessee Titans. I know they won, like I told her, they won against the Jacksonville Jaguars in a poo-poo game. Like, they should have won that. They've always handled Jacksonville pretty well. They were expected to win. I was kind of nervous, to be honest with you, because of the lackluster effort they showed out last week. But I hope that the Tennessee Titans kind of, like, if not remembered something, and that is run the ball with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is your guy. 150 yards, 3 touchdowns, has seen a ton of carries. And I know they can't play him a lot because they don't want to avoid any injuries. I mean, they want to, you know, they can't afford any injuries with Derrick Henry. Their wide receivers are ailing. Julio Jones didn't play. A.J. Brown, I think he was in and out of the lineup last week because I think he's still dealing with his injury as well. So they're trying to, if anything, control or limit the amount of carries that goes with Derrick Henry. The only problem is that your defense can't stop anyone. Your defense can't stop anyone. You guys are not healthy on the defensive side. You just don't have that. You're not there yet. And then who do you guys coming up? You guys got coming up is the Buffalo Bills, who I believe the Titans are like a -5 at home. Dude, you guys are going to lose by like 17. If you guys beat the Bills, it's very Titans-like because you guys play well when you guys are the dog, if you will. If you guys are the underdog, like, you guys play well as opposed to the player, like the team that's basically favored to win. So it's just like, wow. I wouldn't be surprised if they won this week because they're underdogs, but I don't see it happening. I just think Buffalo's clicking on all cylinders. That team defensively, offensively, quarterback, wide, whatever, they look phenomenal. And they just smack the Chiefs in the face. They are the number one team in the AFC. They are the number one team, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Then let's talk Washington and the Saints team. As I was recapping this game this week, I'm like, I picked Washington to win, as dumb as I am because I'm a Washington fan. It's so stupid. Because I'm like, the way they've been, other quarterbacks look the last 4 weeks, they look like they've been Pro Bowlers. And what did you do? You made Jameis Winston look like a Hall of Famer, even though he only passed for like almost 200 yards, but he had 4 touchdowns. You gave up a Hail Mary that has like a 9% probability at the end of the first half. Like, are you kidding? This is Jameis Winston. The guy throws like, he throws interceptions like it's nothing. And you guys played him hard in the first half, and then I don't know what's going on. It just looks like Washington and Ron Rivera and that team, this just looks unorganized. They're not prepared at all. And it's frustrating as a Washington fan, much like the Titans fans. Like, it looks like sometimes you guys are just not prepared to play the week. Come on. Let's go. So, Washington, I just don't know what to expect from you guys this week. You guys got the Chiefs, who's going to be pissed off after their loss against the Buffalo Bills. The Chiefs are going to smack them in the face, too. I'm not expecting that. So it seems like the Titans and the Washington football team are like neck and neck in terms of like expectations. Like, they had this high expectations and they just kind of like, nope, we regressed. Sorry. We were overvalued. We were overrated. So I don't know what to expect from that. It was just crazy to see how that game played out. Yeah, it's just I'm just crazy about this. But I'm going to be giving out my week 6 predictions. I know that we got a Thursday night game between the Buccaneers versus the Eagles. Is it fair to say that the Buccaneers already have the MVP on their team? Is it fair to say that Tom Brady, who's probably the oldest, I think he was the oldest to win the MVP in 2017 when he was 40 years old or 18, that he can extend that to going to winning it when he's at the age of 44? The guy's been playing lights out. He's thrown 4 to 5 touchdowns a game, over 300 yards. The guy's been balling. Right now, I've got him, Murray. It's so hard to say because I'm going to come out with my predictions later, but I'll give you some right now. I've got Tom Brady first. I've got Murray second in terms of my MVP rankings. I've got Dak Prescott 3. I've got Aaron. That's right. Aaron Rodgers. He's a bad man. That's 4. And at number 5, I even got Justin Herbert, who's been playing balls out crazy. That's my top 5 right now for the MVP rankings. Justin Herbert's been moving up. But after the first quarter of the season already over and then backseat, I've got those guys ranked, well, I feel like, accordingly. If you guys feel like it's not right or you want to talk and chat and we can go back and forth, I'll be posting this on my on my Instagram at NFL.junkie, J-U-N-K-I-E, where I'm going to give you my rankings. I want to hear what your thoughts are. I want to hear your thoughts. Do you think that the Chargers are a top five team? And let's go back and forth. Let's have fun with it. So let's switch gears a little bit. Oh, by the way, I've got the Buccaneers winning that game, and I'll go more into detail because I'll do my next podcast, the debut of the game itself tomorrow on Thursday, of like who you should start, sit, what have you, because that's also what I do on my NFL.junkie Instagram page. I also give you advice on fantasy football start, sits. I even give you trade evaluations. I give you rankings of what your team looks like, as well as other NFL content. Everything on that page is all NFL related. It's a lot of fun. Check it out. But let's switch gears a little bit to the NBA. The Nets have put the pressure button. I don't know if you can say that. But, yeah, they're basically pressuring Kyrie Irving to make a decision on what you're going to do. Now, I don't know if you saw, but yesterday apparently the brass of the Brooklyn Nets mass, like the owner and the head coach, as well as the other part of the big three, James Harden and Kevin Durant, came out and spoke on what their situation or the Kyrie situation itself about him not getting vaccinated, and said that he needs to make a decision for this upcoming season because in New York, it's mandated for you to be vaccinated. And it looks like the other players already have, and it looks like because of Kyrie and his stance, the stance that he has, that he doesn't want to get vaccinated, and that's fine. That's fine. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But you have to be prepared for the repercussions here, because a lot of chances, like, you know, when you think about, like, when you have to pray for rain, you have to deal with the mud. Well, here's the mud. The Nets are going to try to trade you. And he come out and said, like, well, if I don't want to get vaccinated and I don't want to play, what have you, then, you know, the Nets were like, well, we might trade you. And he said, well, if you're going to trade me, then I'll retire. And that's probably the move that he's going to make. He's probably going to retire because this looks like he's not going to move on his stance of not getting vaccinated. And I know it's all a personal choice here. And it's built some frustration between him and the other big three because of the fact that, Kyrie, you were the dude that brought everyone together. You're the one who wanted to bring this together, and you guys wanted to be the savior of the Nets. They never won a title. We go over there and we play for the Nets. You, Durant, Harden, myself. We can really do something. We can win a championship. We'll be heroes. No, dude. No. Looks like Kyrie is just being Kyrie. You can't depend on him. Kyrie's going to do Kyrie no matter what the situation is. If him not getting vaccinated, that means he won't be available for at least half of the games the Nets play this year. That's not going to work. They need someone more dependable. Do the Nets need Kyrie to win it? Yeah. Can't hurt. But they still have a squad that's solid enough that they can win it with Kevin Durant and James Harden alone. But are we surprised here? Something that was supposed to be so, like, beautiful as this team got formed together, it started to blow up so quickly. So now, Kyrie, the pressure's on with you. You have to decide what you want to, you know, if you're going to sit out and be a full participant and get vaccinated, or you can't join the Nets. That's basically what the Nets organization is doing. Is that they can't, that you can't join the team until you're a full participant, and that means you have to get vaccinated. So good for the Nets. Put their pressure back on them. See what they're going to do. If you trade them, you're probably going to get a bag of cookies or whatever, but it's not going to be what you think it is, but the headache will be gone. That'd be someone else's problem. And no teams are going to trade for you because of the fact that he won't be vaccinated. No, there's some states that are a little more lax in terms of being vaccinated compared to other states, New York being very, you know, California being another one, very, you know, rigorous. You know, you have to be vaccinated, whatever. But, you know, some other states are a little more open. Maybe like Florida. Florida's a little more open-minded. Maybe, you know, so anything can happen. You know, this can go any way. Some of you guys caught Ben Simmons possibly returning back to the 76ers as soon as this week. And you have to ask yourself, where do the 76ers and Simmons go now? I don't see how this is going to get any better. Your coach is throwing you under the bus. Joel Embiid has called out and said some stuff to you. without using your name, talking about like how they got rid of Jimmy Butler because they were talking about how Ben Simmons wanted the ball more, some other free agent moves that he felt like was not smart because of the fact they were trying to build Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons saying that he doesn't want to play in front of these fans in Philadelphia. Well, you think you're going to be well received now, dude? And now you want to go back? Nah, dude. Did you just meet Philadelphia fans yesterday? They are ruthless. Doesn't matter if they're an Eagles fan, a 76ers fan, a Flyers fan. Dude, even I don't know where I'm missing you, but Ben, you put yourself in a lose-lose situation. Tell me you don't want to win the play with that organization. You coming back up just to show face? Yeah. But I think in everyone's best interest is for Ben Simmons to be traded. Let him come back, do what he needs to do, and then trade him. Because his stay in Philadelphia, if he comes back, will not be a nice one when he returns. It will not be. Those players will have a certain view about him. He'll have a certain view about his teammates. The coaches will have a certain view of him. He'll have a certain view of the coach. The fans already have a view of who you are, Ben Simmons, because you basically just put it out there. And now you have a view of the fans, which you've already put out there. There's no repairing that whatsoever. Because in Philadelphia, when you're done, you're done. They cut you quick. So I don't know where they go from here. I think, you know, if I were the GM, I'd trade him. I could get rid of this guy. Try to see what I could get for him and just trade him. Because it's not going to work out. I just don't see it happening whatsoever. So that leads me to the last part of what I want to talk to about y'all today, and that is with fantasy football. There's a couple players because there was a lot of bumps and bruises this week. Barkley, Galladay, Daniel Jones with a concussion, Max Williams. I mean, there was just so many players to keep up with. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's out for a couple of weeks. Just so many players, and you start to see teams are starting to take their buys now this upcoming week, that you should probably target some players to make up to those spaces, that whether it be injury and for the upcoming buys this week. So I'm going to list a few names that I feel like you should kind of keep an eye on, or probably see if it's possible to target, go after them. The first one is Devontae Booker. The guy had 58 total yards, 2 touchdowns against the Cowboys. He's a running back one. His next 2 matchups are against the Rams and the Panthers, which is not great, but he could really break out, you know, in week 8 against the Chiefs. But he's a dependable flex running back spot. So if there's anyone you need to go get, Devontae Booker is the first running back you need to go get. Darrell Williams from the Chiefs. And here's the thing crazy about the Chiefs, and this is something I'm going to tell you guys right now. Keep an eye out for Marlon Mack. It looks like the Chiefs are rumored to be interested in trading for Marlon Mack, who's also come out and said that he wants to be traded from the Colts. That he wants to go to a new space, wants to go to a new team, he wants a fresh start, and the Chiefs might give it to him. If Marlon Mack lands on the Chiefs, wow, watch out. So if there's a person you want to go look for, and Marlon Mack is still available, that's somebody I would want to stash right now, because if we get closer to these trade deadlines, Chiefs might be a player in this because of the way that Clyde Helaire has not been able to keep up with his injuries and in and out of lineups. Marlon Mack would be a great addition to that team and to your fantasy lineup. So go ahead and try to look for Marlon Mack. Stash him. If he's not there, look for Darrell Williams. Until then, Darrell Williams will be the running back you want to go after, because as Helaire misses the next few weeks with an MCL injury, we know what Darrell Williams did. He showed what he could do last season in the playoffs, right? When Helaire was hurt last year, had 130-yard rushing, 25 receiving yards on 5 catches and a touchdown. So he is a more than serviceable running back. And who does he get? He gets Washington, Tennessee, and the Giants the next 3 weeks. Go pick up Darrell Williams. You'll be happy you did. Kadarius Toney. Wow. Now that maybe Galladay might be missed a little bit, who knows with the concussion protocol, we don't know with his injuries. Looks like, you know, and, you know, Shepard's still dealing with a hamstring injury. Slayton's still dealing with a hamstring injury. Tony, if he's still available on waiver wires, you need to go pick up this dude. The guy had 10 catches for 189 yards. The guy was balling against the Cowboys. He'll be a fine flex play, especially next week when he go against the Rams. So I would go pick up Tony. Michael Carter's another one. He's on a bye this week, but he's worth stashing. He had 52 yards on 13 touches, and he rushed for a touchdown against the Atlanta Falcons. He's somebody you should look after as well. Alex Collins is another one. If he's out there for you, please go get him. He does have a tough matchup coming up week six against Pittsburgh, but after that, it starts to ease up a little bit. But he does see volume. He saw 17 touches for 72 yards against a tough Rams defense. So I would look at Alex Collins if he's still available as well. Ramondre Stevenson from running back for Patriots. We all know that that Harris was dealing with a chest injury. Damien Harris was lost early last week because he had that his chest was hurting. He was a serviceable back, came in. I know that Bolden is more or less that pass-catching running back for the Patriots, but I would basically go and pick him up because, granted, his numbers were not great. He had like 9 carries for 23 yards, but he's going against Dallas next week. So I would try to look for him as well. A.J. Dillon, if he's not already drafted or on other teams, please go pick up A.J. Dillon. I mean, he had a quiet start of the year, but the guy saw 12 carries for 79 yards and a touchdown in week 5 against Bengals. Who? I think the Bengals are a really good team. Bengals are a really good team. I think they're up and coming. I think they're starting to figure things out a little bit. I think it was a tough loss. I thought they were going to win that game. They almost had the chance to. But he might even have value next week as they go against the Bears. Marquise Callaway is another one I would look after if he's available on because I'm pretty sure a lot of people drafted him late in the first late rounds in their drafts this year, and then he showed nothing the first couple of weeks. Was probably a drop candidate. Now he's more or less in that starting factor. I would go pick him up because he's got more favorable coverage moving forward. So we'll see what happens. They got a bye week next week, so he'll be someone I would stash. Hunter Renfrow, if he's still available, pick him up. Rondale Moore. Here's my thing about Rondale Moore. He should be one of your top wide receivers to go after in fantasy and waivers. If he's available. If he's on your team, you need to start flexing this guy, and I'll tell you why. Last week, the Cardinals lost Max Williams to an injury for the year. They traded away Sam Arnold to the Jaguars early in the season. So don't be surprised that the Arizona Cardinals are going to start to go to these four wide receiver sets, okay? Rondale Moore has basically eclipsed Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk had that first week one start. He had great numbers, and then since then it's been the Rondale Moore show with A.J. Green and Hopkins. As Hopkins still deals with injuries, it doesn't seem like Hopkins is the focal wide receiver on that team. It seems like Murray is basically just dunking you wherever he goes. Chase Edmonds, who's also dealing with injuries, he might miss a little bit. So he was a dud last week as well. But Rondale Moore is somebody you need to go after on waivers. You need to go target this guy. You'll be happy that you did because I feel like the Chargers, the Cardinals, are more going to go start for that four wide receiver sets. His floor is really low. So, but if you do get him, expect the boomer bust, especially for your deeper leagues, like the 12 on, at that flex play, whatever. Expect the boomer bust, but he will have favorable matchups as he moves forward. So, but he saw 8 total touches, had 97 yards, and he almost scored last week. He should have scored last week. Mark Ingram, somebody I would look after as well. He's got a tractor standard league, plays the Colts in week 6. I would go after Mark Ingram and the Texans going against them. I think that, you know, the Texans have decided they want to run the ball even more. So I think that the Mark Ingram's kind of separated himself in terms of that running backfield on that Texans team. He seems like he's the lead cow back. Go after him. Khalil Herbert for the Bears. I know you want to pick up Damien Williams. But if you saw the numbers last week, it was a dead even 50-50 in terms of split carries last week between him and Herbert. But he has just as much of a role as Damien Williams does on that Bears team. Actually, I take that back. He out-carried him as I looked at these stats. He out-carried Damien Williams 18-16. So it was a little over 50%. Rush for 75 yards. He's that bigger back. He's that bigger bruising back, which is kind of like more or less what Chicago likes to play with. That's the type of back that plays and sort of seeds in that Chicago team. That's what they've been known for, that bigger, stronger back. And Khalil Herbert, he fits that mold. Even back, Damien Williams is more like that small scat back type running back. I would look at Khalil Herbert as they go against Green Bay this week at 6, who's been very vulnerable towards the run. Go after him. So he should have a solid outing this week. So Khalil Herbert should be on your target as well this week. Josh Gordon, so active last week. Still trying to get himself better, trying to get into the NFL, trying to get his feet under him. He's trying to get into football shape. Stick with it. Josh Gordon's going to be very vital as the season continues on because it seems like everyone just double covers Tyreek Hill. It feels like they've kind of, like, defensive kind of found an idea of how to guard Tyreek Hill and Matt Mahomes. So Josh Gordon will have a play this season. When? I don't know. Just, if I were you, go pick up Josh Gordon, stash him, and see what happens, and just go week, based off week-to-week matchups. And then Jalen Reagor is another one. Michael Gallup's coming back from injury. He's another one you should stash. He's going to be, a, you know, already, we already seen what, what Dallas is doing. They're clicking all cylinders offensively. I think they're the top offensive team in the NFL. I think it was between them and the Chargers. And I want to say, yeah, they're up there with the Chargers and the Cardinals and the Bucks. I mean, they're just kicking all cylinders. Michael Gallup, go get him, stash him as well. They'll be looking for a quarterback streamer this week. This is my number one guy, Carson Wentz. Looked great against Baltimore. They get the Texans this week. Go get Carson Wentz. And after that, they get the Titans. So please go pick him up. So you're going to have week six. He's going to go against the Texans. Then the Colts have their bye. And then they have Wentz going against week against the Titans. Go pick him up because it looks like the Colts are kicking on all cylinders. Sam Darnold, Taylor Heineke is going against the Kansas City Chiefs. Might have an outside, might have a solid game. You know, we've seen what with Kansas City, their defense giving up 20 fantasy points a game to opposing teams, or 24 points, I think, to quarterbacks. So, I mean, let's be real here. It's a great situation for Taylor Heineke because Kansas City is a top five fantasy defense right now. So that's a guy I would look after, I would go after as well. In terms of tight ends, Ricky Seals-Jones, he caught 5 of 8 looks for 41 yards. Couldn't ask for much better than that. He'll be involved, especially Kansas City. He's very vulnerable at the tight end position. They've given up totally a ton of yards. We saw what Buffalo did and Knox against that Chiefs defense. He had a great game. Seals is my sleeper this week in terms of maybe even 12-team formats. Seals-Jones will be a focal point on that offensive game plan against that Chiefs this week. Zach Ertz is another one. Joku, if he's still available. Dan Arnold saw 8 targets last week. Caught 6 for 64 yards. For the deeper leagues, you're looking for a 2 tight end or whatever, flex play, he might be a solid guy for you. And then now that, you know, we have defenses coming to play, who do we go? I like the Colts versus that Texans defense. I think they played well. That defensive front for the Colts is amazing. And I think they're going to give that Texans team a cold. They're going to give them fits this week. I like the Dallas Cowboys going against the Patriots. Dallas Cowboys defense has overperformed this week or this entire season. They've looked great. You know, like I've told you, that team, Dan Quinn and that defensive team has shown out. Dan Quinn was the biggest addition for that Dallas Cowboys in the offseason. He was the biggest offseason addition. Not a player, just him. Then you got the Green Bay Packers against the Bears. Bears are kind of suspect against the run, but they do go up against the Bears without a Jaire Alexander, which is going to be tough, but you're going against Justin Fields. So, you know, when you ever have those rookie quarterback matchups, that's always favorable. My other one, the Cincinnati Bengals versus Detroit Lions. This is a boom or bust. So I like those guys as well. Miami Dolphins is probably the one I would probably safely pick going against Jacksonville because I know Miami has looked horrible, but not as bad as Jacksonville. So those are the guys that I would say that you should probably, if anything, target this week in fantasy waivers. Like I said, it's been a crazy season so far. We'll see where it goes from here. I don't know what happens. I'm just glad whatever debacles have happened in terms of the season itself. As we move on, I know that we dealt with a lot of stuff with the John Gruden, Urban Meyer stuff. But at the end of the day, we're football fans. We enjoy watching football. We'll be better from it. We'll get better from this. But until then, I'm Ray Dosky, and this is In My Opinion.